this episode of Ice Pilots NWT.
This is my son, Mike.
Father and son go shopping for a plane in England.
Thin line between want and need.
But things get out of hand. Scott's in trouble in the C-46.
Buffalo 514, are you declaring an emergency?
And gets stranded on an island. It's June in Yellowknife, Northwest Territories. Buffalo Airways boss Joe McBrien and his son Mikey are on the move to buy a plane.
Me and the old man are heading down to England. There's an electric down there. I haven't seen it. And it's supposedly in fairly decent shape.
Buffalo already owns two Electras for large-scale freight hauls. But they'll soon need to add more to their fleet for firefighting. Every summer for the past 15 years, Buffalo's been flying three Douglas DC-4s directly into the hot zones of the North's most intense wildfires. Equipped with belly tanks that hold 20,000 pounds of fire retardant, these planes are a key part of a lucrative government contract. But new regulations require faster, more maneuverable four-engine turbine aircraft like the Electra. Instead of the DC-4s and their radial piston engines.
Basically, DC-4, you know, brrr, or Electra, get to the fire quicker. I tend to agree with them. The Electra will be a better airplane once it's on the fire, but you got to pay for it.
So Joe and Mikey are heading to England to shop for a third Electra to convert into a water bomber. A major deal to negotiate. And Joe's bringing Mikey along to teach him the ropes.
It's a good experience for him to go over and learn how to deal with the people, how to buy and sell the parts in the airplanes. But I'm not going to be around forever.
At Heathrow Airport in London, Joe and Mikey meet up with American Electra expert Don Deo. A driver takes them from London, 145 kilometers northwest to Coventry, the home of Atlantic Airlines. Don advised Joe when he purchased his first two Electras, and Joe has hired him again.
Don Deo is sort of the guru of Electras. If you don't know Don Deo, don't try and operate Lockheed Electra.
I've probably worked with 30 to 40 of the different Electras of the 170 that were built in one way or another.
There she is, Don, heading number one.
Atlantic Airlines operates three Electras and has several more for sale. Joe is hoping to buy one that he can convert to a water bomber by adding a belly tank.
Really sweet. I hope they're not as tired as we are.
You know what I'm thinking? There's a pop machine in there. We don't have any
pence.
We don't have any pence.
Well, let's find some washers.
Joe McBrien.
No.
Canada.
Not that way.
Here we are.
Nigel Hirons, Atlantic Airlines Director of Engineering, greets the Buffalo team.
You know my son, Mike?
This is my son, Mike.
Hello. How you doing?
Yeah. Nice to meet you.
We acquired these aircraft in 2002, and we were going to convert them to the UK register, but the demands of our customers changed, and basically they've sat there ever since.
Yeah, so they were sitting in here last time I seen it, eh?
Joe knows what he's searching for. Over the years, he's developed the keen ability to spot a diamond in the rough.
This airplane has sat for as long as it has here. Basically, our purpose here now is to look for any damage or corrosion issues that would have developed since 2002.
Like, that's corrosion if I've ever seen some.
That corrosion is on an aileron. The corrosion we don't want is in this fuel bay where it peeks through the wing. The fuel leaks out, and then the wing weakens like here.
Right there.
All down here.
Not a good sign. But Electras are hard to come by.
Like 5-6 years ago, there was enough Electras around that this wouldn't have been looked at.
He's looking now, though. Without a third Electra, Buffalo could lose its crucial firefighting contract. Meanwhile, back in Canada, Buffalo is in the middle of a big job based out of Thompson in northern Manitoba. Not Buffalo's usual territory, but the company that used to fly C-46s here has gone under. This could add up to a valuable expansion and a long-term contract in this province. They brought in Jeff Schroeder, a C-46 captain from here, to help pave the way.
A little crosser and nail sticker here, if you don't mind.
You got it. I've been flying the 46 for 20-plus years. I still get goosebumps when I fly.
The past week, Jeff has been flying with Buffalo co-pilot Scott Blue and mechanic Jimmy Essery. Each day, the C-46 has been shuttling cargo from Thompson to St. Teresa Point, an hour away. In winter, freight is normally trucked in on ice roads, but not this year.
The ice roads this year in Manitoba were terrible. None of the supplies that the communities, you know, rely on the ice road to get to them got in.
Buffalo is clearing a huge backlog. It's going to take them weeks, so every day they have to get in as many runs as they can.
Jeez, thirsty. Hour leg there, hour leg back. Four centers every time. It's easy to do calculations. But we'll see if the loads get ugly, then we slow down.
Jeff, Scott, and Jimmy take off from Thompson with a full load.
All right, 514, we'll be there in 1 hour.
Oh, way to start a day.
Quick job.
Soon, the gravel airstrip at St. Teresa Point comes into view.
We're going where over there?
St. Teresa runway is right there.
Buffalo 514 is 5 miles out, right base, runway 22, St. Teresa Point.
It's short. At 3,400 feet, it's barely long enough to meet C-46 minimum specs. Plus, the plane's tall body and wide tail make it difficult to handle in crosswinds close to the ground.
The C-46 is by far the most demanding aircraft that I believe anybody will ever fly. 3/4 of all the C-46s ever built to this date have been destroyed during takeoff and landing. You know, that's where a pilot's ability has to shine.
Jeff has logged over 20,000 hours in a C-46, more than anyone else in Canada and possibly the world.
Good one, Jeff. Happens once in a while.
On St. Teresa Point, the offload begins. This cargo includes much-needed building supplies for a new school. The materials are packed onto a truck, which boards a barge, and is delivered to the construction site on a First Nations reserve. With their cargo bay empty, the C-46 crew heads back to Thompson for another load. But they're not in the air long before...
I'm gonna go check this thing, Jeff. Just started doing
it.
Buffalo 514.
Buffalo 514, roger.
We may be returning back up to runway 24.
Are you declaring an emergency? Do you need assistance?
Son of a bitch!
Northern Manitoba, noise from the left engine on a Buffalo C-46 has the crew on high alert.
Leaving sanitary support to head back to Thompson and the left engine just started doing the...
Buffalo 514, what seems to be issue?
We're just assessing a few things at this
time. Roger.
Actually, backfired to the carburetor, eh?
Yeah.
All Captain Jeff Schroeder has to go on are his ears, his eyes, and 20 years experience on these vintage aircraft.
You make a mistake, you're going to pay for it in the C-46?
Then, another sign of trouble. If they lose a lot of oil, they're headed for catastrophic engine failure and will have to land on just one engine. Jeff must get the plane on the ground fast.
Come on. We're not declaring emergency at this time.
Roger. Buffalo 514, Thunder Bay Radio.
Tell me you over to Island Lake, 11 miles back at
Less than 18 kilometers away, Island Lake is the closest place for an emergency landing. A tiny community, Island Lake has what Jeff needs most, an airstrip.
Come on.
They're safely on the ground. Now, they have to see how serious the problem is and whether they can get off this island.
It's got two hurt straps, so four hurt straps are going to get a loader to pull us out.
Scott and Jimmy fasten straps to the wheel struts so it can be towed to the side of the tarmac.
Not happy today at all. Apparently wanted a vacation in Island Lake.
Funny place to park, dude.
Yeah.
Hey, Rod, it's Scott.
Scott checks in with Rod McBrien, Director of Maintenance.
Well, we took off out of Santa Teresa there, and now we're just getting into climb power. And the left engine just started banging like a son of a bitch. Oil was going down, and so we shut it down, we turned around, and we're in Island Lake. Is that fixable, Jimmy, or is that done?
I don't know. Can't tell until I open it up.
We're just getting pulled off the runway right now.
First step? Pull the oil screen.
Well, I'm going to still pull the screen and see if we did any damage in here.
It should give a clue to what has happened in the engine. They use some fuel to wash the screen. A bad sign. The oil screen is full of metal shards. The type of metal will be the key to identifying the problem.
You got it?
Hi, Rod. Yeah, we got real heavy, heavy metal, man.
But what kind of metal?
I don't have a magnet, but it looks mostly aluminum. I can't see any brass.
Brass would indicate a serious engine failure.
Is that steel?
It looks like aluminum.
The bits of aluminum could have come from a broken cylinder or jug. They're scraped off as the piston rubs against the cylinder wall. The cylinder will need to be removed to fix the problem.
A jug, Dave.
We'll start looking for a busted jug. We'll call you back.
Like, it's a little greasy from the top. It's not, like, slathered in it, you know?
It's not like a cracked jug, yeah.
Scott and Jimmy don't see any signs of one. Next, to see if all the pistons are moving properly inside the 18 cylinders, Scott turns the prop to drive the pistons. But one piston is jammed.
Number 14 piston is stuck right dead on top.
No compression, nothing coming out of it.
No, it can't be. The piston's not moving.
Can you see the piston?
Yeah. It hasn't moved.
Now, they have to remove the jug to see what shape the number 14 piston is in.
No, I can't get it moved.
Another hitch. Time for some Buffalo ingenuity.
While Jimmy was up on the ladder, he's trying to wedge it, and I was trying to rock it back and forth and get it off. Couldn't wedge it a 2x4 or pry it off with a couple of big screwdrivers, so we came up with the idea of attaching a couple Herc straps to the cylinder, anchoring them on a pickup truck, and just start yanking on that, trying to pop it off.
But the number 14 cylinder won't budge.
Okay, I'm going to button her up. Just put a Herc strap around it.
For Rod McBrien, the timing couldn't be worse.
Piston destroyed itself. A fairly rare occurrence for a C-46, believe it or not.
There are still mountains of cargo to move for a new customer Buffalo does not want to lose.
But I can't see a major oil leak here.
But being 1,500 kilometers from Yellowknife could make this repair time-consuming. At Atlantic Airlines in Coventry, England, Buffalo Joe McBrien is on the hunt for a Lockheed Electra. Joe needs another Electra to keep his summertime firefighting contract.
We got a patches on this old girl, eh?
Yeah.
Wow. Look at that hole, Mr. Man. And inside this airplane is the cargo interior.
He knows how to look past the rust and loose wires to assess the true value of a plane.
So somewhere over in the hangar to be the seats and the control wheel. These things, eh? That's what I don't like. If they cut these things.
I mean, that seems all pretty good in there.
Holy shit, balls.
Mikey has come along to learn the fine art of airplane buying. But so far, he hasn't been much of a student.
Think she'll work?
Don't pull it.
What?
Don't pull it.
If he's supposed to be getting an education in airplane buying...
Can't get it off?
I don't know, just don't know.
He's not setting himself up for a passing grade.
There we go.
As Mikey rescues himself from the life jacket, Joe and Electra expert Don Deo check out one more plane.
Had a lot of experience with moving these things after they've been stored for a long period of time, so I've managed to uncover a lot of different things that you'll find when they sit for a while.
You know, I was talking to the guy at Lockheed about, he said if they crossed over, you got to put it back on, eh? This airplane must have been Air Japan at one time. Japan Airlines, I see some Japanese signals here. We're looking for any signs of corrosion that is bubbling up in the planks, the six planks that make up the wing.
Well, that type of aluminum, you don't want to scratch it because it'll tend to crack. And if you have a rivet or a nail or something stuck in the sole of your shoe, it'll scratch that wing pretty bad. So you best just kick your shoes off. It's built to be light and go fast and be brittle.
Well, a DC-3, DC-4 doesn't really matter, but these things, if you scratch them, they crack, eh?
The Electra wing is designed to withstand stress, but its aluminum plank structure means even a 1-inch scratch could require an 8-foot patch. One reason the Warhorse DC-4 has endured all these years is its I-beam rib structure, wrapped with a tough aluminum skin that can easily be repaired. Meanwhile, Mikey's found a new distraction.
I love it when an airplane works. Call buttons. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, the buffet aisle. This is kind of neat where they heated up all the meals and took them out for everybody. I don't know what that did, but it made a noise. Holy, look at this. This is probably the safest spot to be, though, where the black box is.
Mikey doesn't seem to be taking this trip too seriously, but it's serious business to his dad.
I don't anticipate a whole lot of problems. Murphy will be around. How's it doing? Are we getting some power
just,
there?
Just the air compressor's flat at the moment.
Joe may change his opinion after he gets Don's detailed report.
It's my job to check it over and give him a list of what I see and what I think it's going to take to bring it back into operational status. And then it's his job then to weigh all those facts and determine whether that's the right thing for his operation and what he intends to do with the airplane.
But it's quitting time at Atlantic Airlines. So a thorough inspection will have to wait until tomorrow. Only then will Joe find out if there's an Electra worth buying, or if it's just 57,000 pounds of scrap metal. At a remote airstrip on Island Lake in northern Manitoba, a failed engine on a Buffalo Airways C-46 cargo plane has forced an emergency landing.
Yeah, we got 31.
Well, it looks like we got big problems with our engine. Connecting rod of the piston broken inside the cylinder. And until we get some heavier equipment to pull the cylinder off, we won't know for sure. But at this time, it looks like possible engine damage, internal engine damage.
Jeff, Jimmy, and Scott would have been stranded on Island Lake if not for their savior, Debs Burke.
I just don't know what Scott's going to say. That's my biggest problem.
This would be awesome.
Rescued by this, you know, little 24-year-old Kiwi girl.
Can we get any luckier?
Dibs.
The emergency food's in the front locker, which you can pick with anything. and the spy thing's under my seat.
Debs is from New Zealand, but now flies an air taxi service for a small airline up here.
Debs was loving it. She was happy about rescuing the ice pilots.
Scott and the C-46 crew head back to their base in Thompson. The next day at Buffalo HQ in Yellowknife, mechanics load a replacement engine for the crippled C-46 on Island Lake.
Well, when there's a problem, then we have to basically mobilize a rescue repair team.
Buffalo Captain Devin Brooks will fly mechanics Adam Smith and James Dojak and a replacement engine to Manitoba in AVO, Buffalo's other C-46.
Tilt forward, you're good. You don't have much room, just go slow.
To get the new engine there fast. Buffalo can't afford a major delay in the contract. In England, Joe takes Mikey on a tour of Coventry's most famous historical landmark. The original Coventry Cathedral was built in the 14th century with red sandstone blocks. Today, it stands as a harrowing reminder of just how devastating aerial warfare can be. In World War II, a massive bombing raid, the Coventry Blitz, destroyed the cathedral's carved oak roof.
Well, I've never been to a place that had been bombed out and cleaned up and left. So you can see the devastation of an air raid November 1940, they bombed at 500 airplanes.
An initial wave of 13 German planes flew over Coventry to mark targets for the 500 bombers that followed. The German Luftwaffe dropped 500 tons of high explosives, killing an estimated 600 people and demolishing over 60,000 buildings. But, miraculously, the cathedral's bell tower survived. At 300 feet, it is the third tallest spire in England.
I don't get to close to a church too often. When I get there, I like to look at everything. You know?
And for Joe, that means climbing the tower. All 195 steps. A perfect father and son activity.
Ha ha! Holy smokes. Holy. That's a long hike.
Blew the roof off, left the walls up, and they were smart enough to leave it as is so we could see it, eh?
I gotta go check your altar. You wanna stay up here for a while, Mike?
After taking in the sights, Joe and Mikey head back to Atlantic Airlines where he hopes to buy an Electra. But with a starting price of over $250,000, Joe needs to know if it's worth it. And determining that is up to Electra expert Don Deo.
This airplane is built with a lot of aluminum, so aluminum tends to corrode rather quickly. 8 years in inclement weather can create corrosion problems. So yeah, you can see the same thing here. She's beat up pretty bad. This looks like it's been skinned one time already. There are some spots that I found down in the belly and on the wings there that are going to bear a real close second look. That's an add-on panel right there.
That is, yeah.
Don shows Joe what he's discovered.
That big beam as it goes through there. See the one that comes up off the floor?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of garbage there. I thought about taking these things out, eh?
Yep, they're all soaked in water.
It looks like a mouse nest in there.
Yeah.
Right in there?
Where you got your flashlight.
Yeah.
Play box. Yeah, that's aluminum.
But that's not a showstopper, that one.
Oh, no.
That's just a nuisance one.
Yeah. To people like Joe that are looking at it as their next step in their business plan, it's a good core airplane that deserves a second chance, and it's something that he can bring up to his standards and operate in his fleet.
Yeah, that's a changeable panel.
Joe and Don are feeling positive about this Electra's potential as a firefighting water bomber. And Mikey, after his tiring walk through history, he's found a quiet place for a power nap. On Island Lake in northern Manitoba, the C-46 replacement engine has arrived for the stranded plane. Buffalo mechanics James and Adam start removing the busted engine.
I would say this is a pretty big job for two people, especially to do it in a day and a half.
They're on a tight timeline because AVO, the C-46 that brought them here, is needed back in Yellowknife tomorrow. Removing the damaged engine is simple. It's held on by just four bolts.
Okay, that one's gone.
But step two, it's much more complicated. The new engine is just the bare bones, cylinders, pistons, and crankcase. All the engine's components, including fuel lines, starter, carburetor, and exhaust system, must be transferred from the old engine to the new one.
I stole Chuck's magic wand before I left. So we're doing pretty good here.
And get to work on a tan.
So when we go back, all the ladies will be all over us.
After several hours, the new engine is ready to be installed. But Adam and James are anxious about step three, testing the engine.
You always gotta figure in the F-up factor.
I'm worried that when we first fire this up, that it just blow itself up. Yeah.
Adam and James have their hands full. And over in Coventry, England, so does Mikey.
Holy shit!
On Island Lake, Manitoba, mechanics Adam Smith and James Dojak are ready to test the new engine they've mounted on the C-46.
Claire?
They need to get the plane shuttling cargo right away or face an angry client.
Hey!
Fire?
But immediately on run-up.
Must have left something in there.
You know what that is?
What?
That's a paint dust.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
False alarm. Nothing to worry about.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Hopefully we get a satisfactory test flight. I can go home.
Devin Brooks and Scott Blue will fly the test flight. After an hour in the air, the crew brings the C-46 back down.
It went really, really well. Everything was bang on. All is good. Takeoff RPM is perfect. The idle's good at 600.
Good. so 3 clicks was good enough.
Perfect.
We give it a really good test flight, and it, I would fly it, so I'd say it's a go.
You bet. Have a good one. I didn't break it again, so...
Now, Captain Jeff Schroeder and Scott can get back on the job. And with the faulty engine loaded up, Devin, Adam, and James can head back to Yellowknife in APO. Away, at the airport in Coventry, England, Buffalo Joe has found a Lockheed Electra he wants to buy.
We've got some air in here, can we get the other one?
It's a thin line between want and need. But it's needed for the company to compete in the turbine world. The airplane came out of Alaska to the UK here. With that in mind, I know it'll do a very good job in the Northwest Territories, which is no different than Alaska.
While Joe studies the Electra's logbook, Don Deo gives the landing gear a second look.
The nose landing gear, nose wheel assembly, obviously supports the entire front of the airplane when it's on the ground. And of course, during landing, it takes a good shock loading on there. So I want to make sure that all the components down there are complete.
Looking at the logbook here, made Anchorage, Alaska, the Frobisher Bay in 7 hours and 2 minutes. And then from Frobisher Bay to Coventry, England here, it was 7 hours and 38 minutes. So you travel halfway around the world in 14 hours and 40 minutes. That's pretty impressive. So when you're ready to go out there, let me know and I'll go with you.
Okay.
With Joe and Don focused on the Electra, Mikey is on a different tack. It's World Cup playoffs, and Mikey's going to the pub with the boys from Atlantic.
We were in England just in time for a big soccer match, which they call football.
That's a whole kit. Holy smokes.
Yeah. Drag your full face.
Yeah.
Yeah, if that's traditional.
Watching the game English style means getting a paint job.
This is tradition.
That looks fabulous.
Who's next?
You won't be the only one, I promise you.
No?
Perfect.
So we're just heading out to the pub now and see what kind of trouble we can get into.
You're going to go like that?
Yeah, of course. When in Rome, right? You got to be like everyone else.
It's a chance to schmooze the sellers from Atlantic Airlines and prove to Joe that he can help close the deal. But impressing the Brits is going to require all of Mikey's charms.
Hang on a second.
This is
cool. Here we go!
In England, Joe McBrien has found a plane that could be the key to keeping Buffalo's lucrative government contract to fight forest fires.
Thing is, now I don't know if people in Germany will like me.
With England's flag on his face, Mikey is going to the pub with the plane's owners to grease the wheels on the deal.
He'd rather go socialize and look at stuff, so it's a good combination.
My father doesn't drink. He hasn't drank, I think, over like 15, 16 years. Sometimes deals are done in bars, so I guess technically that's my job, is to go out and have fun with the boys.
Hey guys, what's happening? How's it going so far?
Terrible. Almost as bad as your face.
Look, they have paint on her. That'd be an insult, right?
Turns out Mikey's the only one watching the soccer match with a face painted in England's colors. He's not letting that faze him.
Yeah, man, this is awesome. Like, it definitely reminds me of hockey back home. Except these people are crazy.
England wins. But once the match is over, the real games begin.
And everyone was happy, you know, the party moved outside and we started doing, traditional, English drinking games.
Well, this is Mikey. He's about to partake in a children's activity, which is strange for an adult of his age at this time of year, really.
Looking good.
Face first, Mikey.
It's going to be a...
Come on.
Holy...
Hey! Well done, sir.
The balance board. Right here.
Oh, yeah. You can do that with a beer. Yeah.
With a beer.
Ooh. Oh. Oh. Beer. Whoa. What spilled his beer? Mikey's neck.
Who's that?
Yeah, for Canada.
Mikey puts Canada in the lead.
But Beckham says for England.
Yeah.
Get in there for England.
Nothing cements an international business relationship like falling off a log. Nothing, that is, except maybe a beer drinking challenge.
Mikey, is this a drink off?
No, drink. Oh. My father will kill me. He legitimately
never mind your
me.
Father. We'll
he,
sort
he
your father.
He showed me the knife.
There's a tradition in England about drinking a yard of ale, which comes in a big tall glass with a bulbous bottom.
Wait, how many pints?
It's about 1.5 pints, isn't it?
That's not bad.
Winner takes all.
Takes what?
National pride. I will put white on my face and a maple leaf.
Oh, yeah!
All Mikey has to do to be a winner is drink the yard of ale.
I've seen one in a movie, but it was a boot. This time it was a, you know, like a big beaker. What the f*** is that?
That's a yard.
That's more than, how many pints is that?
Four and a half.
He said it was a pint and a half.
This is
here we go, here we go. Here we go.
Twist on it.
Here we go.
Oh, you guys, what the f***, man? Luckily from the movies, I know that there's an air bubble. And you got to spin the thing to so the air bubble doesn't bounce back and the beer doesn't hit you in the face.
Mission accomplished. Mikey has passed the test and charmed his English hosts.
Well done, Mikey.
I suppose if you've got characters like Mikey in the background, it does make deals a little bit easier to do because you've got somebody there with a nice smile on his face and who's not too serious with life.
Is this a maple leaf?
You're like a f***ing raspberry.
You're my f***ing hero, man.
It's the last day of the Coventry trip. Decision day.
Yeah, we don't know what to do boxes, do we?
All of them.
Yeah, that's a brand new nose cap, the electric prop down.
So my father's right in his element right now. As you can see, he's treasure hunting, which means he's out looking for parts.
Oh yeah, we're treasure hunting. We're like ravens. If it's chrome, we'll pick it up. If it's shiny, we'll squirrel it away in our nest.
Joe's been looking around the premises and he's been looking on every space we've got, roof, cabin, store, to see if there's anything he can acquire, because he's very interested in getting an inventory of stock.
So what I need now...
Do you see your tires?
To keep his fleet of vintage planes going, Joe has been scrounging for parts for 40 years.
Bit of a scavenger, yeah. But he knows what he wants.
There's a prop right there.
There's three propellers there, complete ones.
We need everything we can find, because sooner or later that airplane's going to need it.
With two Electras already back in Yellowknife, and hopes that he'll be leaving Coventry owning another, Electra parts are gold.
Always need spares for an Electra, so they stopped making spares 20, 30 years ago for most of the stuff, so when you can find it, it's always good.
And Joe has hit the mother load.
To an untrained eye, including myself, it just looks like a bunch of scrap metal in here. But he spent, lots and lots of hours. When we all went home and were all at the pub, he stayed here and sorted this all out.
These containers of parts will be shipped to Yellowknife. And Joe's ready to close the deal on the coveted Electra, too.
I say at this point, there's a good chance that he'll be able to get it out of here. Of course, we haven't run any of the systems yet or... the engines.
That's the one condition. The plane systems must be operational, or else the deal is off. To determine if the systems are working, Electra expert Don Deo needs to get at least one of the engines started on a plane that sat idle for 8 years.
Yeah, Don's going to go fire the engines up, and if that's successful, we might have a third Electra in our fleet.
Which is exactly what Joe needs to stay in the firefighting game.
It's a big moment. If there's any problems and Don can't start the engine, yeah, we won't even think that way.
Joe and Mikey's flight home leaves London in just a few hours, so there's barely time for this crucial test.
Best case scenario, she fires up. Worst case scenario, she starts on fire.
Buffalo Joe McBrien and his son Mikey have traveled across the Atlantic hoping to buy an Electra to keep up with the demands of their crucial firefighting contracts. The only thing standing between them and a deal is one final engine test.
Ready on one?
Ready on one.
Clear?
Clear, I'm going.
Okay, one's in.
We're just waiting for it to fire. It's just spinning on the air right now.
The starter has the prop spinning, but the engine still hasn't fired.
Temperature going up.
I think something's wrong.
The turbine is getting dangerously hot.
840, 850.
But the turbine engine still hasn't ignited.
Not so.
Don Deo aborts.
That engine just spun on the air start, which means, you know, when you're turning your car over and you can hear it going, rawr, 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 your car's not actually running, it's just running on the starter. And that's what that engine was doing. It was just running on the air. So even though it looked like it was running, it was just spinning.
If the engine won't start, Joe's deal to buy the plane is off, leaving Buffalo's firefighting contracts in doubt.
Hopefully they'll try it again here.
Oh, we've got just slightly over an hour before he wants to be on the road, so we haven't got much time.
Go to number one again?
Yeah. Temperature's back down.
Joe and Mikey wait anxiously on the tarmac.
Ready on one.
They need to leave for Heathrow to catch their flight home.
Ready out, clear? Okay. Button's in.
Success.
The engine looks good now, so second time, everything's a little looser, everything went a lot better, we got it up there just fine.
Got life in it again. She'll fly another 50 years.
This deal, worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, is done. After a thorough check, this Electra will cross the Atlantic in a few weeks, and will fly Buffalo's colors, fighting forest fires next summer. On the next episode of Ice Pilots and WT,
rather like to film it.
Bombs away. Buffalo gets the drop on fire season.
Okay, what's that?
The McBrians pack up
a picnic table
for a family holiday like no other.
Next stop, Oshkosh.
And Buffalo bids farewell to beloved chief pilot Arnie Schrader.